I want to say thanks first to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me this opportunity, and to all of you also to speak here this morning. Could everybody hear me?
Yes.
All right. So my lesson this morning is called Salt and Light. And we all know what salt is, and we all know what light is. As Brother Ellis read this morning from Matthew chapter 5 and 13. Thank you, Brother Ellis. That's where my lesson is going to be focused on this morning. So bear with me. At times we all feel tired, beaten down, not very motivated in life, and we need something to pick us up, to get us going, to get us motivated, not only physically but also spiritually. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, Jesus does that. He adds value. He gives us hope to our lives. Jesus has just settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in a region called Zebulun and Naphtali. And if you know who Zebulun and Naphtali is, it is two of Jacob's sons. And the people in that area were subjected to political hardship by their rulers during that time. They were like lost sheep without a shepherd, listed in Matthew 9 and 36. Their religious leaders were corrupt. It was a time when power and money meant more to their religious lives than righteousness. The poor were oppressed, the widows were neglected. In Isaiah 9, 1 and 2 describe it well when he said that the people were sitting in darkness and in the land of shadow, in the shadow of death. Spiritually, these people were drained, exhausted, tired. They need motivation. They need someone who will give a little encouragement in these dark times. And Jesus did that. With the very words, he lifted the people's spirit. He encouraged, motivated, and gives hope to these people in a time of darkness. And the same is applied to us also. God's word motivate, encourage, gives us hope in a world without any. As a family in Christ, and we are all family in Christ, what is our mission as Christians? Why do we exist? What is our purpose in life? How are we doing spiritually? Have we grown tired, weary? Have we given up? Lost hope? Are we reaching out to people, to each other? Are we helping people and each other? Are we having an impact in our community? Are we changing those around us? Are we changing or making a difference in the world? Jesus did. And what about individually? As a disciple of Christ, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Seeking God's kingdom or our own? Have you grown tired spiritually? These people are not the only ones who needed to be encouraged and be inspired. We need it as well. In verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth. Why not something else? Why not sugar or spices or fruits or vegetables? Why salt? What comes to our mind when we think about salt? Normally, when we think of salt, we think of salt as being a seasoning, something that adds flavor to our food. It is a common ingredient that we find in every household today, in many types and colors. But for these people, salt is much more than that. Salt was important, vital to these people's way of life. It was a precious commodity, valuable. It was used as trade. It was used for wages, currency, money. In fact, the word salary emanates all the way back to salt. Workers would be paid a day's wage in salt. Could you see that happening today? You go to work and you get paid in salt. Roman soldiers were paid in salt. Jewish men would carry a little bag of salt and they would trade with it. They would use it to get things that they need for the households. Salt was used in all different ways. It was used for cooking and baking. They would put salt on the table to put on food. They would take it and make a brine, clean olives, and they would put it on different vegetables they grow. It was used for purification, to disinfect as an antiseptic. It was used in the temple. They would use salt from the Dead Sea, which was hard, coarse salt. And when the steps of the temple would get slippery and damped, they would put salt on them. We use it on our roads today in wintertime. Salt was vital for life. In fact, in the desert, the longest you can go without salt is 30 days, and I never knew that. If you are traveling through the desert, yes, you can drink water to vitalize yourself. But after a certain time, if there wasn't salt in your body, that water cannot be absorbed into your system. And you would die. Even though you drink all the water you want, you would still die without salt. To the Jewish people, salt was a symbol of God, because salt was about preserving and sustaining and enabling you to live. And to the Jewish mind, salt was a symbol of the Creator. It was used spiritually in the temple. Most of the sacrifice was sprinkled with salt. The incense had salt in it. It was used to seal a covenant between God and man, or between two men. Two men might come together to resolve differences or conflict, and they would have a small table and an empty bowl, a small bowl, and each would take a little bit of salt and put it into the bowl from their bags, and they would shake it around and the salt would blend into each other. So when it blended into each other, they didn't know whose salt it was. So, and the words that they exchange and the covenant that they formed, the Jewish men, they would rather die and to break that covenant with that salt, because when the salt blended together, it became one. I mean, today there is all different types and color of salt. it would be impossible. Could you imagine today two brothers get into conflict? One shows up with pink salt and the other shows up with white salt and they try mixing it together. That's why we got the police. We got lawyers, right? To solve that issue. So salt was a part of every facet of these people's lives. And when Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, he is saying, you are the people I am entrusting to influence every part of the world in daily life, in spiritual matters, in health, in nutrients, in everything that matters. What Jesus is trying to say is that I want you to be something that people value. That is what Jesus is trying to say when he says you're salt. This is what I want. I want you to be something that people valued. People valued salt long ago. Jesus says, I want you to be like that. I want you to be something that people take into very being. Everything that you do. I want you to be a cleansing and purifying agent in society. That is what salt does. It cleanses, it purifies. That is why we are Christians. God blesses us being Christians, right? So when we go out into the world, we are a purifying agent. I want you to preserve life. That is what salt does. It preserves life. I want you to be someone that people value and trust. That is about salt. I want you to be my people. My disciples that change the world by the way you live and how you influence other people. That is what salt does. That is what our Lord is saying. That is what he wants us to be. You know, salt could be used to keep weeds from growing. It was there to keep the bad stuff out, and it was there to make the good stuff better. I use salt. That is what Jesus wants from us. And if you look at this verse, Jesus says, I don't want you to lose your saltiness. Because we could, as Christians, we could lose our saltiness. We could lose that flavor that we have. And how we lose our saltiness. He says the only way for salt to be corrupted or polluted is to mix with something it does not belong with, to dilute it. When Christians get mixed in with the world, they lose their saltiness. God is saying to be very careful, Christians. When we get caught up in this world and the things of this world, we can lose our saltiness. We lose our flavor. You mix it with dirt, cannot put it on your food. Cannot keep a pure covenant. Cannot use that for purification. You can't use it for anything. Once salt has become polluted, it cannot be used for anything else. Jesus says, I don't want you to lose your saltiness, because if you lose that, you have lost your influence. And then according to Jesus, what are you good for? In Luke 14, 34 to 35, Jesus says, and he made a good description here in 34, therefore, salt is good. But if salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. what Jesus is talking about when he refers to salt on the manure pile. One of the applications of salt, especially for the tribes that lives in the desert, there wasn't any firewood to cook with. So what they used to do, they used to go and they used to collect animal down from the camels and the donkeys. And they would sprinkle the salt on it and help it to dry out. And when it dry out, they would burn it. And because of the salt, it burns brighter and longer and hotter than it would without the salt. And that is why Jesus says here that if salt becomes tasteless, if it loses its saltiness, it isn't any good for preventing weeds from growing or for the manure pile. If we lose our power, we lose our influence, we lose our fire. If we become polluted and corrupted and diluted, then we are good for nothing but to be thrown out. So to motivate us, to get us going, Jesus says to us, "You are the salt of the earth, and I am counting on you to change the people around you. Change the world you live in by the way you live." Christians, disciples of Christ, is the salt of the earth. We cause good things to grow while we prevent and stop bad things. But if we become flavorless, we are of no use. He also said in Matthew, the verses we just read, he says, "You are the light of the world." So those are the two things, the salt, and we talked about the salt, now we talk about the light. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven." There are several places in the scriptures where you see the word tell. I'm not talking about the word T-E-L-L, I'm talking about tell, and not telephone. It's T-E-L in front of the name. In Ezra 2:59, tell Mehal, tell Hasha. In 2 Kings 19:12, tell Asa. Ezekiel 3:15, tell Abib. In Hebrew, the word tell means mound or hill. It wasn't uncommon for the people to build a city on a town on a hill. Jesus says here, "You are the light of the world." A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You cannot hide a city set on a hill. And a house on a hill, you can see the light from that house for several miles. Even today, you're driving through the countryside, you can tell where there is a house because of the light that shines. If it's on a hill, you can see it from a distance away. That is why they put lights on the top of towers so that people can see them from a long distance away. It is up there to be seen. This is what Jesus has called us to be. He has called you, and he has called me, and he has called us to be the salt of the earth, a constant influence in the life of others. And he has called us to be the kind of follower that is visible to others at all time. We are not to be influenced by the world, and we are not to be out of sight. Jesus says, "Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it give light to all who are in the house." I have done this for a long time, and I suspect that a lot of us have done the same thing. Jesus says here that I am a light of the world. As a Christian, as an example of the Christian faith, the world needs to see me. It needs to see my example, my influence. But do you know that we hide under a basket? Even though we said we are the light of the world, we said we are the light, we hide ourselves. We light our lamp and then we cover it up. We don't want nobody else to see it. I have a short story here I'd like to read for you. A well-known Bible teacher, Keith Brooks, had just finished speaking to a large class of businessmen on the Christian responsibility to be a light in the world. He emphasized that believers are to reflect the light of the world, the Lord Jesus. After the class, one of the members related to him an experience he had in his home, which had impressed upon the same truth. He said that when he went into his basement, he made an interesting discovery. Some potato had sprouted in the darkest corner of a room. At first, he couldn't figure out how they got enough light to grow. Then he noticed that the cook had hung a copper kettle from the ceiling near the cellar window. She kept it so brightly polished that it reflected the ray of the sun onto the potatoes. The businessman said to Brooks, "When I saw that, I thought, I may not be a preacher or a teacher with the ability to expound scriptures, but at least I can be a copper kettle catching the rays of the sun," which is spelled S-O-N and not S-U-N, "and reflect his light to someone in a dark corner." And as Christians, that's what we need to do. We need to reflect our light into those dark places, to people living in darkness. If you or I are going to influence people, we are going to make a difference in the world. If we are going to change the things in our community for Christ, we have to let our light be seen. When I look at the things in society, I cannot help but think that maybe the reason it is so dark spiritually, it is because we keep putting our light under a bushel. Verse 16 said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The reason we are salt and light is not so people will praise us, but praise God. It is not about us, it's about Him. When they see our salt and our light and our good works, it will draw them to Him, not us. We are not here for the glory. It is for the glory for our Father in heaven and Jesus Christ. Spiritually, God wants us to be salt, something people value, a good influence, a preservative, pure, something that keeps the bad stuff out, a representative of God. And He wants us to be a light sitting on a hill, visible to all, not for our own praises and glory, but for His. Our responsibility and privilege of living as Christians in this world, our Lord said to be salt and the light of this world. What great inspiration given to us by our Lord to help motivate His children living in a world full of darkness and turmoil. We all have the capacity to bring love and joy, care and compassion, inspiration and motivation to others in this world. Just by being salt and light, our thoughts and our emotion is brought out through our actions. Start by being salt. Be honest and true. Have faith in God and yourself. Admit to truth and righteousness. Always show respect for others with love. Bring value to others' lives. Be grateful. The more you recognize that you are salt, the better you can motivate, encourage, and inspire others around you. As light, we are being called on to light up the lives of those around us. Think about the power of light. It makes sight possible. It allows us to see things the way they really are. It eliminates darkness. With the power of light, darkness retreats. What would it mean to be salt and light? The world around you will with great hopes, desire, and possibility. When you change just one life, you start to change the whole world. As I conclude my lesson this morning, I'd just like to leave the thought with you. It says, a candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. So it is with us when we give ourselves, our light is not diminished, but it aids others who are still in darkness. A realm of light is needed to overcome the darkness of the world. A light seen from a distance may save a life, but darkness can lead to disaster. God put us here for a purpose, to be salt and to shine our light onto the world. Have you accepted Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior? Now is the time to do so. May the Lord bless you all. Thank you.